morning and want to thank our frequent flyers that are back with us again today. Come back anytime. We know everyone so well, don't really consider you visitors. In the society that we live in, one of the things that we're subjected to are what we might call buzzwords. Popular phrases that we hear, some we use, some we don't use. Words and thoughts like equality, inclusion, justice, sustainability, carbon neutrality, globalism, single world economy, and the list goes on. Some of these, of course, are good. Equality is good. Justice is good. Sustainability is good. Things like this. When I hear the term globalism and single world economy, I immediately think of the Tower of Babel. That's already been tried. So we know what the end result of that might be. But today I'd like to talk with you for a few minutes about something that we all, I am sure, feel is a good thing. And we all, want to have this, and that's equality. No one likes to be treated inferior to someone else, do we? When we see someone, if we're excluded from something that we should be a part of, our initial reaction is, well, wait a minute, what about me? You left me out. Let's talk about the number of people on the planet. I did a search yesterday, and you can look at different sources, but the pretty much accepted answer now is that there are about 8 billion people on the planet now, pretty close to that. An equal number of boys and girls are born every day. Think about that. Out of 8 billion people on the planet, half are men and half are women. Well, there's a reason for that. But each day, there's 367,000 people born each day. Okay? And an equal number of men and women die each day. And that number is about 183,500. So if there's 367,000 born every day, but only 183,000 die each day, what does that tell us? The population is going up. It's actually supposedly not going up as fast as it was several years ago, but of course it is increasing. About 4 people are born every second, 3 point something. When I was looking this up, I found a clock, you know, like the financial debt clock of the United States. You can look at it and just see it spinning like crazy, how far we're going into debt. Well, there's a population clock also, and almost 4 people are born every second. Think about that. So I want to break this up into 2 parts. First, we'll talk about physical equality or inequality. And then we'll go to spiritual inequality, or spiritual equality, which, of course, is what we're really here to talk about. So do people live in physical equality in this world? No, they do not. And why not? Well, there's lots of reasons. You know, you can look at the television, or you can go to your computer, you can listen to iPods, or whatever you want to, wherever you want to get your information, and you can get different reasons for inequality. Well, this person was born into poverty. This person was handicapped from birth for this reason or that reason. There is truth to some of that. Some people work hard, and some people are lazy. That's it. They're not equal, are they? Some people are kind to people, and others hurt and kill people. Some people give to others, but yet there's other people that steal. Some people worship and obey God, a very few people, but the overwhelming majority do not. But ultimately, the reason we do not live in physical equality is because of sin. It's because the people of this world are sinful. Because of the sin, the first sin actually brought us death, as we know in Romans, the 5th chapter, and verse 12. I could get halfway through it quoting it, but I'll read it. Therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because all sinned. Okay? Because all have sinned, as we see also in Romans 3 and 23. We all sin, we all fall short of the glory of God. And you might think, well, what's the connection there? Well, let me ask another question here. Excuse me. Why did Cain kill Abel? There's a scripture. If you think of that scripture, that's what I'm looking for. Why did Cain kill Abel? Because Cain's works were righteous. Abel's works were righteous, and Cain's were evil. Abel obeyed the Lord with his sacrifice. Cain did not. Therefore, he became angry, very angry, the Bible says, and he rose up and slew his brother. So, was Abel, after this happened, was Abel equal with Cain in a physical sense? No, he was not. Cain was alive and Abel was dead. Cain deprived Abel of his life. He took from him the greatest thing he could take from him. He deprived him, as we hear many times, he deprived him of his life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness, as Thomas Jefferson erroneously said. So, because of sin, people are not equal. They are unequal, if you will. These buzzwords that I started with are the things that the corrupt world wants us to believe. If we will listen to them, they've got the way out for us. It's achievable if you follow my plan. We hear this very often, don't we? Instead of God's plan. The problem is the plan of the world does not include God. Will people ever live in physical equality in this world? Of course not, because there will always be sin. In Mark, the 14th chapter, verse 7, Jesus said, "The poor you have with you always, and whenever you wish, you may do them good." Or whenever we want to, we can help the poor at all times. There will always be wars. Has there ever been a time on this earth that there has not been a war? Well, I don't know that I can answer that, but I can say very doubtful. It's very doubtful. And we know that we are told that there will always be wars and rumors of wars. So when we think about inequality, and we think about the poor, for example, should we do what we can to relieve the suffering of the poor? Of course. But before we give to some man-made organization, our first responsibility as a Christian is to relieve the suffering and sustain the physical lives of needy Christians. First, Galatians 6 and 10. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially who? Those of the household of faith. First comes our Christian brothers and sisters. I think Ben mentioned this either last week or the week before in his sermon, Matthew, the 25th chapter. excuse me, beginning in verse 31. Jesus describes the end of time and how all the nations of the earth will stand before God. And it describes how we will be parted, sheep on the right, the goats on the left. And Christ talks there about the things that are done, that those who are righteous have done to help those who were in need. And then he talks to those who did not help those who were in need. Where do we stand? Where do you stand? Where do I stand? We are inundated with requests for financial help, not only as individuals, but as the church. I get the mail out of our mailbox here, and it's just every week there's several requests. Give to this, give to that, or buy this, buy that. You will be blessed. there's all kinds of things that we get. There are many good organizations to give to, but there's many that are not worth your time, and many that are scams. The thing we should ask ourselves first is, are there Christians who are more deserving of my money or my efforts? This is the duty of the church and us as individual Christians. Let's say for a second, let's just suppose that there could be this utopian society that we hear about. You know, if you want to subscribe to the Green New Deal or whatever the term might be for the things that the Congress has thrown before us and are taxing us for, and we'll achieve all these wonderful things. Let's just suppose that there was this place where everyone loves everyone. Food is free. There's no need for a government. It's a global society. There's no need for the army. There's no need for police. You know, we went through that. We know how that turned out. Because everybody behaves themselves, no one has to work to survive, and everybody exists for the common good of other people. Everything's distributed equally. Well, first of all, people would have to be perfect to create this society, wouldn't they? And they would have to continue to be perfect to sustain it. Well, wait just a second. We don't have to imagine that. Because that place actually existed in the Garden of Eden, didn't it? And what happened? Sin entered the world. And man brought all this upon himself. Again, Romans 5 and 12. Because of sin entering the world. So physical equality does not and never will exist in this world. So let's move on. But can we achieve spiritual equality? That's what we really should be concerned about. The answer, of course, is yes, we can. We can all be equal spiritually. We talked about that in our morning class this morning. And how can we all be equal? Only in the church. Because Christ, who was perfect, instituted his church, and he died for it. The organizational setup of the church is perfect. No, we as human beings are not perfect in the church, but it is the perfect way. It is what we strive to attain, is it not? Let's look at Romans chapter 12, verses 9 through 18. We have a picture here. This is one of the good passages that we have that gives us a description of what we as Christians, how we should act in the church. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor giving preference to one another. Not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. There's a description of a utopian society. This is how the church is to function. Another great example is in Acts, the second chapter. You know, I was thinking about this morning as I was reading and studying on it. One of the things in Acts, the second chapter, that members of the early church did that I think is one of the greatest tests of those who are in need is those who had land and property sold it and gave it to the others that didn't. Anybody here willing to sell their house to give to a member of the church who is in great need? It would be hard to do, we might think. Ephesians, the fourth chapter, verses 7 through 16, is another great description of the church, how we edify one another, how we build one another up. 1 John 4, verses 7 through 10, talks about love that we should have for one another. So every person that's is created by God, and we're all given life by God for the purpose of doing His will. That is equality. Job 1 and 21, Job said, I came naked from my mother's womb, and that's the way I'll go out. Was anybody here born with their clothes on? Nope. Is anybody here not going to go back to dirt when they die? Kind of a numbling thought, isn't it? The Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord, said Job. God loves all of our souls equally because He gave Jesus for all men. You know, one of the first verses we teach our children, John 3:16, tells us that. Romans 5 and 8. But God demonstrated His love toward us that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He died for us before we were born. That's equality. We want equality, don't we? That's equality. God hates the sin of each person equally. Every single person who is obedient to God will be rewarded with eternal life. That's equality. Every single person that does not obey God will be rewarded with eternal punishment. That too is equality. In Romans, the second chapter, verse 11, we read that there is no respect of persons with God. God doesn't care who I am or who you are from the aspect of our achievements in our physical life. He doesn't care how much money you make or don't make, or who your father or mother were, or etc. He doesn't care if what my race or my nationality is. This is God's world, not our world, from the aspect of who created it. God created it. God sets the conditions of salvation in place, and He is the judge through His Son. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. Paul told Timothy, I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at His appearing in His kingdom. It's His kingdom, it's His church, He's the judge. He sets the rules. There will be no exceptions to those who obey or disobey. That is equality. Let's think about this for a second. I want to try to say this right. If God saved everyone, regardless of how they lived on earth, or picked and chose at random, by saying, well, you get eternal life, but you don't, then Christ died in vain. And that's not equality, is it? But people say, well, to be equal, if God saved everyone, then that would be equality. Would it be? What about the ones who live righteously and the ones who live wickedly? If everyone was saved, would it be equal for the righteous to have sacrificed and lived their life righteously? No, of course not. Mark 16 and 16. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. 1 John 1 and 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. James 1 and 12. Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. This is instruction from God to us. If we are obedient, we will be saved. That is equality to all who are obedient. Have you ever thought about this thought, that Satan also treats everyone equally? He does. He wants everyone to be lost. 1 Peter 5, verses 8 through 9 says that Satan walks about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Is he picky about that? Does Satan say, well, I'm going to let him go to God. I won't even try for that person. We know that's not true. Satan will take every single soul on the face of the earth unless we learn from God and are obedient to Him. Don't be deceived by Satan or any man who claims he knows better than God's Word. And there are many people who want you to disregard the Holy Scriptures. There are many people who think they know much better than God when it comes to matters of salvation or how we should live. God is holding the door of salvation open to you right now if you have not received Him. If you're not saved, you have the opportunity to obey Him. Does anyone here know how long they're going to live? Of course not. But when we die, the door is shut. James 4 and 14 says, our life is but a vapor. It was kind of foggy this morning when I got up. And I can see the fog come up off the creek sometimes when weather approaches, or even on a clear day. I can see that fog just kind of come up over the ridge and it'll be gone in just sometimes 30 seconds or a minute. When we see the clouds that float by, they change continually, don't they? When we see a nice sunset this type of year, you'll look at it, and 30 seconds later you can look at it again and it'll be different. That's what our life is like. You remember the statistics I gave you when we started out about births and deaths? 183,000 plus die every day. That's 127 every minute. So I've been talking to you for, let's say, 25 minutes. There's been over 3,000 people die since I walked up here. When is your time? We don't know. Are you ready? That we know. That you know. There is even equality in physical and spiritual death. Death is final. It's forever. And we don't come back. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27 through 28 says, in that it is appointed for men to die once, but after this, the judgment. So Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. Christ died one time for all men before him and all men that will come after him, of which we are a part. Are you ready? If you're not ready, we would like to help you get ready. You have that opportunity this morning to be in equality in the church. You have that opportunity to be saved. to those who are saved, continue in the good work. If you are in need, please let it be known as we stand and sing this song of invitation.
Four hundred and seventy-seven out of the Red Songbook.